Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And then from Luke chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 17, which is on page 1034. Blessings and woes. After which I'm handing over to Maureen, and she's going to expound the blessings and woes for us. It's page 1034. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." May the Lord give us insight to his word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, I don't like this time of year very much, although the weather is good. And maybe you may ask, well, why not? Well, 10 days or so ago, it was Valentine's Day. Did anybody have a Valentine? Oh, good, someone did. That was good. I have to confess, I went to a church last week and I asked them, and I was amazed. It was an older congregation, but at least half the congregation put up their hand. But I don't like Valentine's Day because, as some of you know, I've never actually received a serious Valentine's card. I've never had someone come with a flower and tell me I'm special, that I'm their number one person, the most important person in the world to them. Never. And then, you know, we go a few weeks and we come to Mothering Sunday. I have no one to come and say, Happy Mother's Day. Oh, Mum, thank you for everything you've done for us. Oh, Mum, we really love you. Don't you worry, Mum, we'll be there for you. And you know, sometimes I think on these things, and a couple of years ago in particular, I was feeling a little bit sad and low. And because I don't have anybody in the house to complain to, well, I had to complain to the man up there. I said, Lord, it's just not fair. And then, having had my complaint before him, I turned to the scriptures, and would you believe it, the very verse that I read on that day was from Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, where God says to his people, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I tell you, when I read it, my spirits rose and I said, what better Valentine could I have than that? God has loved me in the past. He loves me now and he will love me forever. And as I thought about those words, I thought of all those other lovely words that God speaks, where he tells me I am his treasured possession and he loves me. Wonderful words. But you know, we have to ask ourselves this question. Yes, God loves us, but do you really trust in that love? Is that love of God sufficient for you? In our gospel reading, Jesus, in a way, is challenging the people through the words he speaks. He wants to know, whom do they put their trust in? We'll start with the woes. He says, woe to the rich, the well-fed, the happy. Woe to those when all men speak well of you. And I thought to myself, but woe? Is it wrong to be rich? Some of us here are reasonably well off. Is it wrong to be well-fed? Is it wrong when people speak well of you? Is it wrong to be happy? Of course, I don't believe that that is really what Jesus is saying. But what he is saying is that when you put your trust in these things and depend on these things for your happiness and your satisfaction and your fulfillment, then woe to you, because these things are perishable. But when we put our trust in Christ, we put in that which is imperishable, that which is eternal. Well, let's now look at the blessings. To be quite honest with you, I'm not sure they're much better if you just take them on face value. Because what does he say? Well, he says, blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are those who are despised and rejected and so forth. Blessed are those who weep. It doesn't sound very, very promising, does it? Are those the only kind of people who are going to be blessed? Why did Jesus speak these words? Difficult words. And very often, Jesus does speak very difficult words to us. I have thought and pondered and prayed about those words many times. And I think that what Jesus is saying is this, that, well, when people are poor, and I've worked with many poor people, desperately poor, when people are hungry, when people are having that really difficult time, that's the time many of them reach out to the all-powerful God. And, you know, I thought about that because it's true, isn't it? It's when we are really vulnerable that very often we reach out to that all-powerful and loving God. At the beginning of this year, I'm a stand-in for the minister sometimes. And he was appointed to go and speak to the Wednesday Fellowship. And they'd said, we would like you to come and we would like you to talk about the covenant prayer. Now, I don't know if you know much about Methodism, but we have a special covenant prayer we make at the beginning of every year. I'll just read a little bit of it just to let you know what it's like. It's a prayer we make, a promise, a vow, if you like, that we make to God. I am no longer my own, but yours. Well, that's not too bad. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. And so it goes on. And if you read it and think about it seriously, you'll say, that's tough. Because I don't want to suffer. And I don't want to be laid aside. I don't want people to think that I'm past my sell-by date and I'm no longer useful. And I'm sure those many people who lose their jobs and, you know, they don't want to be laid aside. Sometimes when we look at the difficult things that Jesus calls us to do and to be, we forget something very, very important. Like this covenant, it is a covenant. It's not just us. There is God there in it. When we say to God, I am yours, well, God says, yes, you are mine. I am your God. And God's desire is to do what? God's desire is to bless us. And that's why I chose this wonderful reading from Ephesians. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he says to them, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's all about blessings. Do you know that? Have you experienced that? Well, what are these blessings that we receive? Well, Paul explains it, and I paraphrased it a bit. He says this. He tells them that God, in his love for them, chose them to be his sons and his daughters, the inheritors of his eternal kingdom. Inheritors of eternal life. Isn't that amazing? And then he goes on to explain that it is through Christ's blood shed upon the cross that the barrier of sin which separates us from God is broken down, and we can approach the throne of grace and we can receive God's forgiveness and a fresh beginning. Now, I find those words so comforting because, to be honest with you, I do mess up quite a few times. I need to be able to come to the throne of grace. I need to come and receive God's forgiveness. I need the burden of guilt and shame to be lifted. And I thank God that he gives me that opportunity. And I thank God that he gives me a chance and an opportunity to be made new, to be redeemed. If I did not believe that, I would not be standing here this morning. Of course, those are only a few of the blessings. He ends up by saying, those who believe and trust in Jesus are sealed with his promised Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within us and comforts us and encourages us. Yes, sometimes rebukes us, but strengthens and sustains us in times of difficulty. But as I've said, there are many blessings. I can tell many stories, but I won't do too many today. I've just been trying to declutter. And I came across a big bag of my Christmas cards that I received this year, and I thought, I think it's time to recycle them. But before I do, I'll just look through them again. And I did. And do you know, I was amazed. I get a lot of cards. I'm very fortunate, aren't I? I got a lot of cards. And in so many of them, there were these words. May you know the love, joy and peace of the Christ child. Because you see, his love and his joy and his peace are some of the blessings and gifts that he gives to us. God longs for us to know and experience his love within our own lives. He longs to pour his love into our hearts, not only to bless us, but to shine forth and be a blessing to others. And I know, I go to many churches and I find many people who are very loving and kind and caring and compassionate people. But I sometimes have to ask, is it possible that sometimes our love is masked and it doesn't really shine out as brightly into the world as he would like it to? Perhaps because there have been some misunderstandings within the church, within the home, with the family, with the community. There have been differences of opinions. And when people feel their opinion is not being upheld, they get frustrated and they speak very hurtful and cruel words, and people are hurt and wounded. Or is it possible that those of us that might have been hurt and wounded find it very hard within our hearts to forgive? You know, I preached on the Sunday before Advent. Do you know what that Sunday's called? It's called Stir Up Sunday. I like preaching on Stir Up Sunday. And it comes from the collect for that day. And it's the collect goes like this. Stir up our hearts, we beseech thee, O Lord, that we might prepare a place for the coming of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm often praying that. Lord, stir up my heart. Rekindle your love within me, that it might shine forth and be a blessing to others. And then it comes to joy. Well, I'm good at singing. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. But how often is that joy seen in me? Is it not possible that sometimes what people see on my face is something that lacks joy? When I'm a little bit struggling and I'm feeling a bit sorry for myself or I'm a bit frustrated, Jesus said, doesn't he? I've told you these things because that you may know my joy and that your joy might be full. I have a little book that I have of, it's called Jesus Always. And it's a lovely little book. Every day there's a little reading and it's as if God is speaking to you. And in that on that one particular day I was reading it and it had those words from the Bible where Jesus says, you know, I want your joy to be full. And he says, if you find you've no longer got the joy of the Lord in your heart, maybe it's because you are only looking at negative things, things that are wrong in your life, in the world, maybe even in the life of your church. We sometimes think that. I do, I know. And he said, instead, you should be looking for the positives. You know, God is not dead. He is alive and he is still at work. And if you open your eyes, you can see many areas where he's at work, working through his people to bring healing and hope to his world. So we need to ask God perhaps too to rekindle his joy within our hearts and within our lives. And then we come to peace. So easy, isn't it, for your peace of mind to be disturbed, for you to be filled with anxieties and fears. Fears about the world situation, fears about your family situation, fears about your relationship. So many things we can be anxious and worried and afraid of. And we long for that inner peace. When I was starting out as a preacher, I remember reading a little book in which there was a really lovely illustration. It said in an art gallery somewhere, I can't remember where it is now, there are two pictures side by side, and both pictures depict a picture of a storm at sea. Dark clouds, lightning flashing, you know, torrential rain, waves rolling high in fury. Two pictures. The first picture is just the storm. In the second picture is the storm just the same, just as fierce, but in the middle there is a rock, and upon the rock there is a dove quietly sitting upon the nest. And there was an inscription below which said, these two pictures are pictures about life. The first is a picture of life without Christ, unblessed by his promise and peace. And the second picture is life with Christ, for he is our rock. And when we cling to that rock, we will indeed find peace. You see, it is very easy to be overwhelmed by the storms of life, and even for our faith to be shaken. But our God is a very gracious God, who gives us all the things we need to strengthen our faith. He gives us all the tools we need to rekindle his love, joy, and peace in our lives. He gives us the privilege of prayer. He gives us his written word through which he speaks to us by his Spirit. And he gives us a time of worship in which our relationship with God is enriched and deepened. Is it possible that sometimes our faith is not as vibrant as it once was because we have neglected these means of grace? We have become too busy to be still before God, sometimes too busy doing good works. But doing good works on its own is not enough. We need to be still before God. We need to talk with him. We need to listen to what he has to say. Is it perhaps that we've been too busy to open his word and to allow him to speak to us by his Spirit? And is perhaps our worship not always as enriching as we would like, because in a way we have come unprepared? I finish with an African story. When I first went as a minister, I was put into a city church. It was a new church. In fact, the building was not even complete. We sat under scaffolding inside as well as out. I was told, well, it's a new church plant, and we get about 45 to 55 on a Sunday morning, and lots of children besides. But they have their own service. Fine. So I go over to the church ready for worship on Sunday morning. There's two stewards waiting to welcome me, and we wait. And if anybody's from Africa here, they know what happened. At 10:30, I popped my head round, and there's barely a handful of people there. And I said, what's happened? The people are not here. Oh, don't worry, they said, they'll come. So I said, well, should I wait for a little while? They said, no, don't wait, otherwise those who've come early today will come late next week. You'd better begin. So I began. And sure enough, the congregation came. Slowly they drifted in. One family even came just before the benediction. But they came. And I thought to myself, what can I do to encourage these people to come to church on time? Well, there's young people here. I'll use them. We'll do some drama and some singing. So we prepared ourselves well. Then I announced to the congregation, next Sunday we're having something really special in the service, but it's going to be right at the beginning. So if you don't want to miss it, please come on time. Well, I'm happy to tell you, about, 60% of the people came on time. And I'm glad to say continued to come on time. But what about the other 40%? Well, I left it for a week or two. And then one day I stood up and I said to the church, now, if I was to announce to you that next week the president of the country is coming to worship with us, you would all be on time. In fact, you would all be before time. I said, do you know every week the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is here? I didn't need to say any more. I heard a great big sigh and a murmur, "Ora Morini." And you know, sometimes I think to myself, do I remember, as I'm preparing and coming to worship, that I'm coming to meet with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I think that all of us from time to time need to hear some words that God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, where he says to them, "Awake, awake, put on your strength as in days of old." We do need to continually ask God to rekindle our faith, that his love, joy, and peace may indeed shine through our lives. As I have said already, blessing not only us, but also all those whom we meet, that they too may discover the source of those blessings and come to know the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ for themselves. Thanks be to God. Amen. We are now going to sing a good Charles Wesley hymn. Though we've already had one, haven't we? No. 451. 451. O thou who camest from above. The final prayer, I just wanted to tell you that the Karabuni Trust people are visiting Irrendero Project, which you so generously have supported, but they don't come back till the 8th, when they will give me a full report. We sent money in October, I think November, because that's when the schools break up, in the hopes that some work will have begun. But you know, Africa is Africa. But we are very hopeful that they will come back with a good report. And I will certainly let you know how things have progressed. Thank you. And now let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the greatness of your love. We ask you to help us to love you more. We ask that you will help us to grow in faith and in trust, that not only may we ourselves be blessed, but that we may really and truly be a blessing to others. And now may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.